Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN. I'm David Dye, and our guest today, John Forte, certainly knows the vagaries of life and the consequences of his actions. After a dream beginning to a musical career, having his songs recorded on huge hit albums by the Fugees, launching a solo career, he was arrested transporting liquid cocaine and sentenced to 14 years in federal prison, a sentence commuted by President Bush right before he left office. We'll hear that story and also the music of Forte from his new album, Style Free. The World Cafe came into the picture when Forte was transferred from a prison in Loretto, Pennsylvania, to one near Fort Dix, New Jersey, where he was able to listen to the radio. I asked him about radio's importance.
Radio was a lifeline for me. I didn't watch TV. I read voraciously. I read newspapers, weekly periodicals, books. I mean, volumes and volumes and volumes. And I listened to the radio. I listened to NPR for my news, and I listened to XPN for my music and my culture. And that was it for me. So this is home for me in so many ways. But, you know, also as an artist, listening to your selection in particular inspired me to develop my craft as a singer and songwriter, and to evolve from just being a rapper, with all due respect to rappers in general. But I think that, you know, what I listened to, what I had to stand outside with my little Walkman and listen to during your programs, it gave me light.
Well, that was the first question I was going to ask is what changed? Because my understanding with this first EP that's come out since you were in prison, that this is the music you wrote there.
Yes.
A lot of it. So what changed for you, and how did these people influence you?
I think that there was a chasm between my perception of what singer-songwriter was and the expectation of what I had of my personal artistry. I was able to hear amazing artists like, you know, Jose Gonzalez or Shine Marshall, and to think to myself, wow, these are phenomenal musicians, but they're all imperfect in their own way. I heard an interview that you did with Jose Gonzalez where you mentioned that he didn't feel comfortable with his singing voice, and I thought he had the voice of an angel. But then you find out that people like Hendrix had this sort of just discomfort with their voices, and you know, you hear the cracking in Shan Marshall's voice, the pain in it, that lived in voice. And I said, you know what, I've lived a little bit, so I'm entitled to have an imperfect voice or to mess up if I'm playing guitar, but to just be as genuine as possible.
John Forte is our guest, and we mentioned the EP and the music he wrote, we're talking about, called Style Free. Excuse me, I want to say freestyle. But that is out now. But one of the other things that you did when you came out was get together with Talib Kweli to put some new words to the music from Kanye West.
I did.
The Homecoming. It couldn't be more appropriate.
Right.
And you actually opened with a version of that on your set. I wanted to play that.
Great.
And then get the story of how that came together.
Do you think about me now and then? Do you think about me now and then? Well, I'm coming home again, being home again.
The name is apparent, the voice precedes this. For 7+ years I walked wilderness, reminisced on better days like Jay's, how real is this? I ain't even think I was missed. I learned to get with my hands to do better, like, dude, you knew better. But life is fast moving, how quick could you get up? This is fit form, calisthenics and bid poems. 20 on the bar, that's money, the kids home. Improve the chess form, letters, books and dorms of every piece on the board. From the rooks to pawns, I bear witness to the mind fitness. I supersede existence, true indeed, we often need resistance. Dreams crashing, falls are broken when your team has them. I stop smoking the redeem fashion as the orb revolves. evolve. Some puzzles won't be solved at all. I had a dream at an inaugural ball. You know John, soft-spoken. Philly, keep my heart open. I sing the song till every string on this guitar is broken. A man amidst the masses, the lone one in the crowd. I took a vow, this homecoming is ours. I traveled miles from the south to the east. I learned to stand on my feet. All the while from the mouth of the beast, and that's the least of it. To comrades who's still in it, you will be remembered, loved, and represented. Love.
Do you think about me now and then? Do you think about me now and then? Well, I'm coming home again, being home again. Do you think about me now and then? Do you think about me now and then? It looks like I'm home again.
That is Homecoming, is done live on stage at World Cafe Live by our guest today, John Forte. And there, just Google up that Homecoming with John Forte and Talib Kweli on Google, and you'll see a really great video that you guys did together. And with you reading your lyrics off of your...
from my BlackBerry.
Off your BlackBerry. how did that come about?
Reading the lyrics off my BlackBerry Homecoming. All of the above. I knew that I wanted to put something out almost immediately. I didn't know what the medium was, because I knew that there was a potential fan base out there who, well, number one, knew that I was back, and number two, had a certain expectation from me, and I didn't want to disappoint them. So I wanted to give them what they're familiar with, which was me rapping, but the context of the lyrics was something that they didn't necessarily anticipate, which is what I think led to the initial chatter. You know, we got thousands and thousands of views almost immediately within that first week. Anyone can rap. I can write a rap for my mother, not to belittle the art of rapping, but rapping is essentially putting words together that rhyme. But not many people can be a Talib Kweli and put words together that feel as if they were always meant to be together. I mean, that's the essence of what we do as lyricists, or at least what we strive to do as lyricists. And that's what I wanted to do with Homecoming. And I said to Kweli, you know, this is where I am as an artist. And it's not about shocking the audience with profanity. It's not about excluding an audience with too much slang, where a person who might not be familiar with that slang, they might not have the accessibility to the music. But it's about saying, you know what, I can be more hardcore than ever by just speaking the truth.
I wanted to, you did a really nice version of Nervous on stage. I wanted to go do that one. This is also kind of a statement of where you are and what you want to do, even though it's called Nervousness. You referred to a bit of paranoia involved with this. How did you write in prison? How did you do? What did you do? How did you save this? How did you?
I had an acoustic guitar, and because we weren't allowed recording devices, I wrote everything to sheet music, and I had a journal, a makeshift journal that I purchased off of the commissary in order to capture my lyrics. But for the music, I would write it out longhand, as if I was, you know, the 8-year-old learning how to read and write music again and adapting that to the violin. I fell in love with my artistry all over again, because for the first 2 years that I was away, I didn't write a word. I wasn't thinking about music. I was thinking about fighting my appeal and getting home. And I was also trying to fight the stigma of being the rapper who made it and then blew it all. So I didn't want to have any conversations about music or the industry or the business or what my thoughts on so-and-so's net worth versus so-and-so's net worth. I just wanted to isolate myself and fight my case. And then I just lost and lost and lost. And then I just fell in love with writing again.
Did the people inside take you to task for that? Did they say, how could you have blown that?
Yeah, a bit, because, you know, you have those conversations with guys and they'll say, you know, I had to do what I had to do in order to survive, because I wasn't educated, because I didn't have a family. And they're right in their belief of being right. They're right in their conviction, no pun intended. I made a very, very big mistake. And I continue to live with that mistake in trying to be the best friend, the best son, the best lyricist that I can be. But I don't think that my story is necessarily any different than anyone else's story who's listening right now, because we all go through adversity. And I think that it's my job as a creator of art to try to, as best as I can, express how I deal with that adversity. And if you can relate to it or not, I mean, it's how we meet in the middle. Some of us won't meet in the middle, but some of us will. And that's the beauty of this opportunity right now.
Let's go to the stage, and this is Nervous.
I saw the sky part like the Red Sea, the world is nervous. I saw the sun cry and bleed, the whole world is getting nervous. I saw my best friend become my enemy, ooh, I'm nervous. Well, everything ain't what it's supposed to be, you should be nervous.
I trust no man on face value, name, or reputation. These are years in my face that came with education. The last of the thinkers have all but died out, or else studied the beast to close from inside out. From the streets we came confused, abused creatures, suspended in the ether, students without a teacher, gangs without a leader, aloof as to how we free the mind. Without the body, should mobility stop? It just kills me how the game simply came and went. Yes, I'm guilty for still looking for my name in print. I spent a while out in the whatnots, the joke's on me. I even smiled in my mugshot to catch the moment. How much confusion have oppressors produced this year? The blind know not the difference between truth and fear. As with all things, one day I'll be gone from here, but not before I tell the world that John was here.
I saw the sky part like the Red Sea, the world is nervous. I saw the sun cry and bleed, the whole world is getting nervous. I saw my best friend become my enemy, ooh, I'm nervous. Well, everything ain't what it's supposed to be, you should be nervous.
Even here, amongst so many, I stand alone in search of a link between my actions and the way one thinks. Some essence of a connection in a world divided. I'm antithetical to rhetoric, federal propaganda that sends babies to war and tells them fight for the hell of it. They keep insulting my intelligence, like everyone outside of politics is some nitwit. We'll clash as long as phases of the moon are cyclic. I've seen you entertain your hedonism, breeding your elitism. You told me what I needed on a short list with freedom missing. I've been advised to play by the rules. That's if I ever want to see the light of day in the future. They'd rather see me soft shoe, shuffling and performing. You tell my brother I love him, I'll be home by morning. You tell my mothers I'm fine, and I'm ever theirs dearer. I'm stronger, more determined, and I've never thought clearer. Lock my body, can't trap my mind. Easily explains how I surpass the time. How much confusion have oppressors produced this year? The blind know not the difference between truth and fear. As with all things, one day I'll be gone from here, but not before I tell the world that John was here.
I saw the sky part like the Red Sea, the world is nervous. I saw the sun cry and bleed, the whole world is getting nervous. I saw my best friend become my enemy, ooh, I'm nervous. Well, everything ain't what it's supposed to be, you should be nervous.
I lost it all, God, just to earn it again. I saw the doors and had to learn to come in. Despite these dudes' intents to ride on my strength and hide what I lent, I can't forget the fact that devils just divided my men. And rather unlikely to the psyche, the worst devil is the one that looks just like me. Carry on. How much confusion have oppressors produced this year? The blind know not the difference between truth and fear. As with all things, one day we'll be gone from here, but not before I tell the world.
I saw the sky part like the Red Sea, the world is nervous. I saw the sun cry and bleed, the whole world is getting nervous. I saw my best friend become my enemy, ooh, I'm nervous. Well, everything ain't what it's supposed to be. You should be nervous. You should be nervous.
I'll give you the 20-second life story if you don't know who I am, if you are a person who is this guy? He keeps talking about he was away, he rapped. All right, really quickly. Single, parent at home, Brownsville, Brooklyn. Flow. Did well academically. Played the violin from the age of 8. Excelled. Guidance counsel comes to me one day and says, "You're smart. You should consider boarding school." Boarding school? I'm not a bad kid. I'm a good kid. I thought she meant reform school. Then she showed me the brochures. And I said, this versus that. Olympic-sized swimming pool, English language building, math building, science building, 3 tracks, 5 gyms, you know, stuff like that. So I went to boarding school. I went to Phillips Exeter Academy for 4 years. Came out. I went to NYU for about 2 weeks. I don't know. It was issues with the bursar's office. I was like, whatever. You know, I don't need the headache. You know, you guys want to speak to me like that? I'll show you. I'm going to drop out. So I, what? It didn't happen to you? All right, it happened to me. So I dropped out, and I joined the music business, and I became the youngest director of A&R for, I don't know, running around. I was like 19. I was wearing a coat and a tie. I was signing groups. It wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to be an artist, but I didn't have the opportunity to be an artist. But I said, I'm going to play my position. I'm going to be an executive. So I did that, and I worked for Raucous Entertainment and found some great talent. But then I met a young, beautiful woman by the name of Lauryn Hill and a group that she was in called the Fugees. And they had just finished their first album, London on Reality. And she knew that furtively, when the talent left the studio, that I was still making beats. I was still writing raps. So she came to me one day and she said, you know, we're working on a new album called The Score. You want to be a part of it? And I was like, no, I'm an executive. I'm not the talent. And she said, no, you know what? You really ought to contribute something. No. I'm not. I'm an executive. Well, she twisted my arm. Not quite. And I went to the studio and I played a few tracks for the guys for Wyclef and Prize. And they said, wow, man, we really like this. I said, well, if you like this, you might want to say a rap like this. So he said, okay, you want to produce the track and rap on it. That's cool. We'll give you that shot. So they gave me that shot. And about 20 million records later... however many Grammy nominations and all that stuff. You know, the Fugees became history in the making. But there's always a but. Because, I mean, you know, you feel yourself on the roller coaster, ascending, 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 ascending. I assure you, you never ascend without a great decline. All that ascending, yes, yes, all right. And the great decline came in the form of my solo release, Poli Sci, which came out in 98, I think. And came out to, you know, kind of so-so critical reviews and sold about 100,000 units domestically, which was a huge failure back then, especially having been a part of tens of millions of records being sold. And I was arrogant. I was boastful. I embodied that hip-hop braggadocio. Don't you know who I am? I had $1 million necklace on. I mean, I was that guy, you know what I mean? So Sony was like, really? You know, we don't need you. And they dropped me. So I said, all right, I'm going to do this independently. So what did I do? I aligned myself with, because by the time this happened, I was out of the money. But I was not out of the arrogance. That's a really dangerous, dangerous thing to be out of money and full of arrogance. It's like, you will do some reckless things. And my reckless feat came in the form of involving myself within a criminal enterprise. But I never wanted to be a criminal. I just wanted to be an artist who supported himself independently enough to continue to support his art. The judge and jury didn't see it that way. And in 2001, I was sentenced to 14 years in a federal prison. And, you know, we fought hard, but I lost my direct appeal. I lost my writ of cert. I lost my 2255. I just kept losing. So my last remedy was to file for executive clemency in the form of either a pardon or a sentencing commutation. A sliver a sliver of hope that I clung to day in and day out. But I mean, it kind of escaped my mind, so I focused on other things. Well, on November 24th, 2008, my now manager, who was my former attorney, I know, right? I'm like, really? You're gonna stick with me, kid. Informed me that my name had made a very short list and that my sentence was commuted. And after 7.5 years in a federal prison, I came home early. And I'm here. Well, people have asked me, do you have any regrets? Or what's the worst part about being home or being back? And I will say to the men tuned in on the compound of Fort Dix, I love these guys. And these guys became my brothers, my comrades in arms. And I cannot wait to see them on this side so that they can continue being the best fathers, the best sons, the best brothers, and the best givers to their community, because they are ready to do that. All they need is the shot that I have. And this is the song that I dedicate to them. It's a cover of a Kate Bush tune called Running Up That Hill. And it's theirs.
And if I only could make a deal with God and get him to swap our places, be running up that road, be running up that hill, be running up that building.
Light up the firmament. The only constant is impermanence. You could say there was a turn of events through some divine laughter. Should it stay awoken, a chapter closed when the gates open. Resurrected on my 33rd, 7 years was sufficient, God. I memorized every word I heard. If my demise were for naught, may I learn anew another language more wise and then return to you. The sum of parts make us, so with God's graces, if your burden gets too heavy, may we swap places. I've been to hell and back, but never take it wrong. The fact remains that some will never make it home until we sit again, do this, that, and this again. Hold your heart to remember is the discipline. Until we sit again, do this, that, and this again.
If I only could make a deal with God and get him to swap our places, be running up that road, be running up that hill, be running up that building.
This is cost risk analysis. Think before your dalliances. Let us build upon what balance is. Take heed as if you've been warned. Talk less, listen more, and improve your form. Don't get caught up in the cipher. The news is on. Pay attention to it. Too many crews are gone. How many apes does it take to defuse a bomb? That's why so many right-hand men lose an arm. When you see what you want to see, sideways don't perform for me. So when you speak, it's in front of me. Take me to your leader. Get it through your heads. Freedom doesn't make you freer. Until we sit again, do this, that, and this again. Hold your head to remember is the discipline. Until we sit again, do this, that, and this again. Hold your head.
And if I only could make a deal with God and get him to swap our places, be running up that road, be running up that hill, running up that building. If I only could with God and get him to swap our places, be running up that road, be running up that hill, be running up that building.
Yeah, a version of Running Up That Hill, the Kate Bush tune, but something completely different from our guest today, John Forte. John has an EP out now called Style Free, and that's the story. And you told it very eloquently there on stage at World Cafe Live. And if people are wondering some of the things we're alluding to, it's all in there. What's left out is the strange group of people that helped get you out, including Carly Simon. Orrin Hatch.
Yes.
Former President Bush.
Yes.
Who commuted your sentence. And here you are. And it's interesting to me. You went to Phillips Exeter for your violin playing. Where did you fall in love with language? Because you listen to your raps, you listen to your songs, you read your writings. Clearly, you're a man who respects words.
I do. I think that this love affair with language, it sounds crazy, but I think it happened really late in life when I had a lot of time on my hands, especially just in that solitude, you know, of being in my bunk and not knowing what was going to happen tomorrow or next week, or if I had another, you know, if I wasn't coming home until 2014, I fell in love with the greats. And not just the traditionalists, not just the Dostoevskys and the Tolstoys, but prison gave me was the time to reacquaint myself with the beauty of language, especially because I spent a lot of time listening and observing rather than talking. And that was important to me. And it allowed me to see the beauty in just putting together these words. So, I, John, which was the album that I wrote on the year that I was on house arrest awaiting trial, set the bar for me in terms of my artistry and my unwillingness to compromise, as opposed to some of the earliest stuff that I did. I'd walk into a studio and I'd say, well, I have to come in and I have to make this for college radio. I have to make this to compete with what this is on this radio format right now.
That's your A&R guys, huh?
Exactly.
Or you as the A&R guy.
And it was me as the A&R guy. It was me listening to the A&R guy. And, you know, I, John, eradicated that mentality to the point where I came in on a Monday and I felt a little country. So you know what? I embraced it. I came in on a Tuesday, I felt a little rock and roll, and I embraced it. Came in on a Wednesday, felt a little reggae, and I ran with it. I'm continuing in that tradition of going where my heart is.
Let's go back to the stage, and this is playing my cards for me.
John, who am also your brother and companion. I stood atop the mountain and saw you down there in the canyon. If I fall asleep, play my cards for me. It wouldn't bother me. You are a part of me. Others have fallen too. Instead of falling through, I hold these thoughts for you. My love, I, John, who am also your friend and sympathizer. I bear witness to your speech as you only grew wiser and wiser, and I, well, if I fall asleep, play my cards for me, it wouldn't bother me, you are a part of me, others have fallen too, instead of falling through, I hold these thoughts for you, my love, I, John, who am also your rock through years of war. I know deep within that we have all been here before. Oh. Well, if I fall asleep, play my cards for me. It wouldn't bother me. You are a part of me. Others have fallen too. Instead of falling through, I hold these thoughts for you, my love, my. We'll be right back. I, John, who've decided on no longer asking why. I'll make heaven here and now under the everlasting sky, sky. But if I fall asleep, play my cards for me, it wouldn't bother me. You are a part of me. Others have fallen too, instead of falling through. I wholly start for you, my love, but if I fall asleep, play my cards for me, it wouldn't bother me. You are a part of me. Others have fallen too, instead of falling through. I wholly start for you, my love, my.
Play My Cards for Me from John Forte. Finishing up our session, I'm David Dye, World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN. It's produced at WXPN in Philadelphia and XPN.org. To hear more of our World Cafe sessions and also get daily information about our shows from our newsletter, you can sign up and visit our website at worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.